Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Father. No matter what the week has held, things that have happened, that we can walk out of the past week, even if it's been difficult, and to walk into His presence and to realize that there's a peace and a strength, His comfort and His love, and that He's not left us. He's probably been more with you during your struggle than you realized. And sometimes myself, sometimes I wonder, like, I don't know how I made it in there without you. Oh, Lord, I don't know. I went through that. Boy, where were you at? And He's like, Tim, if I wasn't with you, you wouldn't even made it. Let me tell you, boy, I was with you. That's why you made it through it. I just pray His Spirit to be touching you each and every day and in each and every way. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Well, it's been every time I've spoken now for about a month or month and a half, 2 months, I don't know, we're in Colossians. And I just read through it, and then something hits me, you know, the scripture and a verse. And I just think about it. And I want to bring it today. And we find that in Colossians, the supremacy and the sufficiency of your ability. No. Of Jesus. Of Jesus. Amen. We read it in Colossians chapter 2, 21 to 23. And he's talking, Paul here says, do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. But before we get there, I want to go and I want to share just a little bit into last week, I think it was, where I talked about verse 6, that if you therefore have received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. I drop down now and I'm going into verse 11. In Him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. Verse 13, and you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Aren't you happy? Of all your trespasses, you've been forgiven. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having done what? The purpose of the cross. He's nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and the powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Verse 16, so let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath, which are the shadows of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility, worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which have not been seen, vainly being puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and then knitted together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Therefore, in verse 20, if you have died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Why do you do that? We do that a lot. We regulate ourselves to the world's ways and the standards. It says in 21, do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of who? Men. It's all according to man, men. And how many here know that man likes to put a lot of requirements on a person? Talked in Sunday school a little bit about, you know, somebody receiving money. Talked about Abraham and what he was gaining, and how someone wanted to give him riches, but he didn't take it because he realized that he would be beholden to that person. And when we find that anything that we take and get from man, how many know there's usually some kind of a string attached to the thing? Whatever it is. And so we've got to be, and there's a lot of that involved in our walk with Christ. And this is what we're getting into. This is what Paul is sharing with us here. And I want to bring it up today, and I'm probably talking to the choir. But we have an understanding of where this takes us, where this takes a church, a denomination, a religious order, whatever you want to call a group of people that, on one hand, they're following God. But they only are following God to a limit because then man gets in there and man begins to put a stipulation one, stipulation two, stipulation three, stipulation four. When all that was accomplished back where? On the cross. The sins, the things, all that. I loved this to where it was nailed to the cross. Our sins. The thing we've got to be aware of is our sins have been forgiven by that of the blood of Christ. And then from there, it just goes up. We begin to walk, I hope, more like him. We begin to reflect more of him. It's like we had said earlier that, okay, if you have received Christ, walk in him. If you here today have received Christ, all you need to do is walk in him. That's all that he's saying. That's what Paul is saying there. Now Paul is coming about it here where he's looking at, it's not legalism with Christ. Man loves legalism because it's ability for us to put legal things and restrictions upon our fellow man. But Christ came and he took care of all those things. So as we are getting into this, therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, verse 20, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? These organizations tell you what to touch and what not to touch, what to eat and what not to eat, what to do and what not to do. Now we can look at that and just, we all can think of some religions and denominations out there where there are some that says you can't eat certain food. You'll find in, we'll get there, 1 Timothy 4:3, regarding those things, whatever God has sanctified and set apart has been made holy, you can eat it. Now, don't go crazy with this stuff, but I'm just saying how some religious orders have gotten to the point to where they dictate certain things to do, not eat, touch, not touch. Dance, don't dance. Sing, don't sing. Laugh, don't laugh, because man has got a better way. Man has an understanding much further than that of what God says. What days to go to church, what not days to go to church? Some religious orders out there have, there's certain dresses that a woman should wear and how long the dress needs to be. There's some out there says their hair has to be a certain length. Some say it has to be in a bun. Like all of this matters to Christ. Like all of that matters to God. No. What matters to God is where is your heart? And did you not receive my son Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins? Your sins, not his sins, but he's forgiven you of your sins. He's taken your sins upon him who was sinless to cleanse you of that sin that you're walking in. Being merely born into this world, you've already been born into sin. Little baby, 2 hours old in that little bassinet. Sin. Not that they've walked into it per se, they're too young, but yet the understanding of sin has come into this world at the minute of birth. And then we have to process that as we grow and we get bigger. And it's not to say your child is, oh, a sinner and your child is of the devil and they're possessed and all that, but it's coming to that understanding that that's what it's all about. With the fall of the garden and sin coming in with the fall of the first Adam. Just by mere prayer, birth, you've just been entered in. Congratulations, sinner, sinner, sinner. But there's a way to come out of that sin, amen, through Jesus Christ. And what we want to do as a church, as a group, is to make people understand that it's not jumping through hoops, it's not jumping through or over hurdles, are doing something to high jump, you know. Here's the bar we're going to set for you to jump. Now, we want to adjust ourselves and look at that bar that is that of God, and we always want to be aiming for that. But it's there for all of us to say, here's where God's standard is, or here, whatever you want to say, but it's here, and this is what we need to be shooting for. Not because I'm down here and I'm telling you this is our standard. If you hit this standard here, you're in like Flynn with God. You'll be fine with everything because that's what we think it should be, when God's standard is still even above that. So just basically focus ourselves day in and day out on pleasing Him and growing closer to Him. Do not taste, do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. So we can put all kinds of stuff out there, but really until the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you and convicts you of these things. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, smoking, alcohol, all of these things that are out there, eating pork, all this stuff. I mean, it's all out there. And there's things that we've got to begin to develop and grow from. You know, the body is that of the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to maintain this temple, right? And I, for one, I don't do a very good job of that. How about you? You know, I need to. I'm trying to. I have that desire, you know, to lose weight, you know, and to exercise, keep strong, keep vital, be able to go forth, you know, for that of God. And little by little, it's gotten better, but it could be a whole lot better. But I don't want to beat myself up over that to think that if I can, you know, develop a stronger body, that I'm going to be closer to God. I'm already close to God, and God is close to me. And it should be something that I want to do to just please Him and not do something that I've got to follow man's standards. Imagine if a church came out and said, okay, the only people that come here have to be, you know, of a certain body mass. Probably most of us would all be gone. And so we can really get into a point where we set up a standard, which are our standards, and until man meets those standards, they can't get close to God. And then once they pass our litany test, now you can come in. And that's not good. And so we've got to be very careful. And that's, I think, what Paul is sharing here, is that don't get into what men say and the rules and regulations. So when I looked at this in the New King James, and I read this where it says, these things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect. Neglect would be severe treatment or asceticism of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Asceticism, it's from the Greek to exercise or to train. The practice of the denial of physical or psychological desires in order to attain a spiritual ideal or goal. And that's what we're looking at here, where some people want to self-impose religion, false humility, and neglect, severe treatments and asceticism. Meet these standards and you're going to be good to go. We look at this where people should see a difference between what? The way of a follower of Christ lives and how people in the world are living. To the Colossians, the discipline demanded by false teachers seemed good. Legalism still attracts many people even today. By following a long list of rules may require strong discipline and may make a person appear moral, but rules don't change that person's heart. Okay? It's all about that heart change. We've talked about that. You already know about it. Change my heart, O Lord. Make it ever true. Amen. God changing the heart. Only now the Holy Spirit can accomplish this in this person. That's why we pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon that person. Pray that the Holy Spirit comes and begins to minister God's word into their spirit. That the Holy Spirit came and told Tim, do you really need that extra cookie? Should you really be drinking all of that pop? Should you be doing, we all have vices, you know? One is not worse than the other, you know? But when the Holy Spirit begins to come and deals with you specifically on it, then the Holy Spirit is speaking to you specifically about it, and the Spirit wants to help you with it. And He wants to help you get away from that. And so I can break loose, and we've had people, you know, whether it's smoking or alcohol or whatever, they can come and get even saved and turn away from the altar and instantly be healed of that or no longer that desire, right? And they walk away saying, well, I gave up alcohol instantly. Why can't you? Ooh. We put a weight upon that person. We're putting it upon them to think like, what He's done for me, I'm great. You better obey. And you better stop smoking. You better stop drinking. You better stop playing the lottery, gambling, or whatever we want to put out there as stipulation. That's man coming in to begin to manipulate the things of God in a person's life. And the sad thing is, sometimes those people that are just coming into that, they're looking at you because they think, oh my gosh, this guy or gal must really know something because they've been in it for 20 or 30 years. The problem is they've been in it for 20 or 30 or 40 years, and you know how many people they've chased away from God? Well, you don't look at that side of the count board or the tote board. Many good people, I believe, began to walk and begin to learn and begin to change their lives to the things of God, and then sometimes a religious church gets in there and a religious spirit or a religious person gets in there and starts to talk to that person and beats them down because they've not changed or got that out of their life yet. And if you've not got it out of your life, there's still something wrong with you. I don't know about you, but my walk with God has been a process. A process, guys. But following a long list of rules may require a strong discipline, but it doesn't, and a person appears, wow, they're really morally right. It doesn't change their heart. And I think in some of those instances when people have had that happen, they may have changed. They may have laid that particular whatever fill in the blank is that they feel the Spirit has said to lay down, and they've laid it down. But then something has happened and they pick it back up. The same Jesus is there again to say, here I am, toss it over to me. It's been forgiven. Repent. Move on with me and let's get a handle on this. How many here, if we would open this up, that you went and struggled through a thing in your life early on, how many years did it take for it to finally get right with you? Sometimes a long time. 5 years? 10 years? 15 years? But then if that person is sincere in what they're doing, what does God see? The heart. He sees the heart of that man or that woman. And even though they may indulge in those things and it's something that God doesn't want, they see their heart and its heart is like sad and I hate to be doing this. I can't stop. I don't know what to do, Lord. We got to be there to say, just give it over to Him. And I know that sounds very easy, but give it over to Him and let's just keep it in prayer and ask for the strength of God through that of the Holy Spirit to continually work in you so that little by little, or maybe it's majorly by majorly, that desire is gone. Amen. But let it be that of the Holy Spirit and that person with that of God. Let us be a church of support and encouragement and prayer. And let's walk a mile or two or three or four with that individual. Because you better look at yourself where you came from. Because I think most of us were not saints the first day we left and had the sinner's prayer. There were still things, issues, and things dealing with us in our life. But God still loved us. And He was still there for us. And He wants us to enter more into those things. We learned today that word enter talks about enter the kingdom. Enter, Miles said today that there's two meanings of that word of enter. One is to enter is to gain access. We have entered into that through that of the blood of Christ. We've entered into now a new kingdom. Now the next part of that word enter is to begin to explore. And that's where a lot of people miss it with God, is they don't continue to explore God. They stop with the entrance into His kingdom. Looks great. I felt good for about a day, a week, a month. And then this old world stuff started piling back on me. Well, they entered in, and like I think maybe Linda shared, so we enter into the front door, we get to maybe just the foyer, and we go, wow, this is great. But we don't explore all of that of God. And if you don't explore all that God has, all that God is, and all that he will give to you, the enemy will come and steal it from you. And the enemy will tell you this, well, you're in the foyer, you're good. You're good to go. I think sometimes we might call that as you got fire insurance. May not be going to hell, you're going to heaven, but you're going to be miserable on this earth until you go. Because the devil will make sure of that, right? Just the way he is. The devil, he does not want you to explore all the things of God. Oh, this thing with Miles is so awesome. The keys and the keys. And we talked about the keys. He says the keys of the kingdom. And keys are to lock and unlock and to access and also authorize and all of these things. And God says the keys of the kingdom. We know that Jesus went down off the cross. What did he do when he went down in Hades when he hung on the cross? He took the keys of captive and took the keys back. Until that time, the old devil, that old Slewfoot guy, he had the keys. I'm glad you guys all have white hair. Well, Alex, you'll get there. Don't worry. It's coming, brother. It's coming. Did you guys have up here like Captain Kangaroo? Wasn't that awesome? Captain Kangaroo. He had white hair, but remember when he had come into his thing? I think that's the tune of the song. And he always went over to the counter, and on that counter was a ring, and on that ring was a key. And he always had a key. And then he went to unlock stuff. I think I'm seeing a key with Captain Kangaroo. Captain, huh? Yes, he jangled them. Thank you. I wasn't the only one, but he jangled them, and he would go to do things. You liar. You better have your legs crossed, your toes crossed, and your ears crossed, brother. No, but the key, you know, just isn't that weird? That just comes to me to think about Captain Kangaroo had those keys, and the one key is a ting, ting, ting. But I always had to unlock stuff and the doors and stuff. God is like that, the keys of the kingdom. There's a kid, the kids left, some, I think it's Will, left plastic keys that are out on the table right by the mints. And when I saw those last week there, the keys of the kingdom came to me. And I just left them there all week, you know? It's like plastic little keys. But I'm going to tell you something, guys. That's a very simple imagery of the keys of the kingdom. Maybe we ought to do that. Give you some keys, you know? But we have to use them to unlock, to see what's there. So we don't want to just enter, yes, enter to get access to. I want to enter now and I want to explore the things of what God has for me. The things that God has and continues to have for this church. Amen? Oh, God has got some phenomenal things for you and your family individually. I know it's pain and sorrow and suffering and like, okay, enough is enough, God, but there's still good that God has for you and your family. We just have to, and I'm not saying because it's there, you're not trying to unlock it, you're doing those things, but it's that time that the enemy just likes to always do what he can do to get in the middle and get in the way of the things of God. And I know many of us here have kicked the old devil many a times, but the doggone guy keeps coming back. But Jesus said that too. It says even though the Satan got behind him, Jesus says, he will come back at a more opportune time. We live in an opportunity of a world in our lives with that of the kingdom of God with great, tremendous opportunities. Amen, with the things of God. But along with those opportunities that God has, the enemy has, and he's waiting for that other opportunity to come back into you and to destroy you, to steal from you, or to kill you. He does not give up. And until the Lord comes again, he is still free to reign. The devil is still free to go out and do these things. But as he's doing those things, we too have someone that's still available. that of Christ, that of God, that of the Holy Spirit, to teach us, lead us, strengthen us, comfort us, carry us, hold us, speak to us, to remind us that my God has not left me abandoned. You're going through hell, but God is there going through it with you. And he's going to keep guiding you through it. And you got to believe that there's an opportunity coming to where you're going to exit it. I have no idea when, where, how. But I know my God loves me. And I think he loves you. And he's not giving up. He is not giving up. When a person comes to Christ, we should not expect an instant maturing in that person. Really? They should. Isn't God's word instant? Our growth is a lifelong process. Although we have a new nature, we don't automatically have all of our good thoughts and pure attitudes or motives, do we? But if we make a serious effort at listening to God, we will begin to change. The hardest part is listening to God. And the world likes to drown out the voice of God with all of its interference of things of life, of whatever the case is. You can put all that out there and you already know it. How about yourself? Look back at the start of this year, 2022. Do you see some changes for the good that you've made? Could we say that there has been some maturing in your walk with Christ? I'm not saying you're there yet. I'm not saying that you still got a ways to go. We all have. Remember, this is a lifelong process, our growth with him, until we are called home. And then you can say, whoo, here I come, you know. But just look at yourself. So many times you want to look at other people. I like Tom Miles said today about giving, you know, the giving of the tithe and things of that nature. And, you know, even though you should give 100, but you give 50 because the guy next to you gives 20, it makes you feel better. And that's what a lot of man is about. We compare ourselves to the others. We are not to compare ourselves to the man. We're to compare ourselves to that of God, Christ. Not to say that we are Christ, but we're to be like Christ. We're to show that around to those people around us. So take a look at yourself. Do a bit of self-reflection on 20. My goodness, and here are 2022. You only got like a month and, 2 weeks. So you better, if you haven't matured a little bit and gotten better, you've got like 30 days, you better start. You better start before the end, because 2023 is coming. And what does that hold? I don't know. But God's got something good. Woo! Do you see some changes for the good? Can we say that we have seen maturing in your walk with Christ, or can you say that to yourself? Are you noticing different thoughts? How about your attitude? Are you seeing some differences in whatever area that you want to look at in your life? And the thing about this is, I don't need to know about it. I don't want to know about it. It's just between you and God. God is such a personable, loving, caring God. And there's been a few times that I've tried to sneak one by him and say, oh boy, I feel, I'm doing this. Oh God, this is great. And God always has a way of coming back and saying, well, Tim, you know what? And it's a lot better, like, you know, guys, we're getting into Revelations on Thursday, but it's like, I don't ever hear him say, but I've got this against you. Not yet, thank God. But it's always when I'm feeling pretty good, he'll always come back and say, well, yeah, that's pretty good, Tim. But, you could have handled this over here a little different. Could have done this a little better. Whatever the case is, and it's not that he's beating me up. It's not that he's chastising me over these little things. But he's, by that of the Spirit, he's working in me, and by that of the conviction of the Holy Spirit, because he says, my son, there is such a gem, a jewel, a diamond in you that I want to work it to where you see it and to where the world sees it. Because when the world sees that jewel in you, they see me working in you and through you. I love Jesus. Jesus says, what? I say nothing but what the Father says. I do nothing but what the Father does. That's where we all need to be. But that takes a heart change. It does not take following man's legalisms, wear your hair in a bun, wear the lady skirts below the knee, you know, have no piercings, have none of this, have no, I don't understand all that stuff. I was at a, Danny was talking about a, getting his hair cut. It reminded me, I was a few weeks back or a month back, got my hair cut, and I'm at the place, and this little young girl comes up, and I'm being waited on in pain, and this other hairdresser comes up, and I'm, and it's just before Halloween time back, 2 weeks or so. And I'm looking at her, and she had like red, really nice made-up face, but I think her, I don't know if it went down, I can't remember if it went down or it went up. And I'm standing there, I'm paying my bill, and I'm looking at her. I go, wow. I said, that's a very unique face or whatever. I don't know what I said. She's probably looking at me like, what, this old guy, you know? But I was just looking at her. It's like, I said, that is very interesting. That's very, very interesting. I'm thinking like, thankfully I didn't ask, are you getting ready for Halloween? Because I really think that's just the way she dressed or wore her makeup. Are you getting ready for Halloween in 2 weeks? That's going to wear off, isn't it? But, you know, these people that do those things, it's hard for us not to notice. And I don't know, I guess when we notice it, we should notice it. I mean, they're doing it for some reason. They want to be noticed. I've had people that had tattoos and piercings and all. I look at it after a while, I go, that's very interesting you got all that. I said, why? What's it all representing? What's it represent? You know? You know, one time I did that to a person, and the person says this, it's an addiction. I wish I hadn't had them all. Yeah, that's what this guy said. He was sitting here in the church. I was talking to him, counseling him or something, talking, looking at him across the table, going, man, you got a lot of tattoos and piercings, man. Yeah, he goes, it's an addiction. That's why they have it. We all have an addiction. Cigarettes, alcohol, pornography, food, whatever, buying all kinds of stuff. I don't know, addictions. We just, it gets a hold of our body and we just, it begins to control us. And that's where when we come into that of the revelation of Christ and we come into that with him in our lives and we begin to change as a new man, a new creation. Old things have passed away, all things become new. That we begin to see this newness in us even though we're oldsters. We're young. Hallelujah. But addictions. And it's a process to work those out of our lives. But thank God again, Holy Spirit, convictions, changing of the heart. We don't need that any longer. How many times have you heard people that had tattoos and then some years later they try it or, I don't know, they go in to have them removed? Because it was just the thing at the time, a fad. I thought I'd do this. I was going to rebel. I was going to do this, blah, blah, blah. And then they begin to look at it in reality going, this is stupid. I spent $300 to put this on. I'm probably spending $1,000 to take it off. Anyway, seeing some differences in the area, seeing differences in your area, the change I'm talking about today may not, or it may be ever so slow. But don't give up on yourself. And that's the thing. Here it is, the church. We're an encourager. We're to encourage you to keep the fight, keep the faith, keep going forward. Don't stop. Don't turn around. Don't go back. I don't care if you're weighted down. I was going like this, and all of a sudden I got weighted down, and pretty soon I'm slowing down. Oh, it's like, don't stop, even if you're going through a weighted time. If nothing else, just keep moving a little bit, you know. Keep persevering. Keep coming through it. When we stop, the enemy has even a more opportune time to bombard us with more stuff. And that's what he's looking for. It's a whole lot easier to hit a static target that's just there than a moving target. And so if the enemy sees that you've stagnated right where you're at, he's seeing like it, and he can just keep pounding on you. And then before you know it, you can't even get your left foot in front of your right foot. God hasn't thrown in the towel regarding you. Isn't that good to know? So if you continue, and if we continue to trust and learn more about God, change is going to follow. It can't help but happen, right? Now remember, this is get away from religion, get away from denominational, get away from man's rules, laws, rituals, and just be that with God. Attend a church I love this church because you can come in and have communion with us. All I want to tell you is you better have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. As your Lord and Savior. Be a child of God. I don't care how many times you read the Bible that week. I don't care what level of adult Sunday school you're in. We don't need to do all those things. He will do those things in all of us. I mean, this thing on Thursday has been really a neat thing because we have just been progressing and going from here to here to here. And oh, it's been good. It's been good. Oh, Father. I remember Pastor Hoblet one time said, Tim, just remember this. The more rules you have, the more you've got to follow. And the more rules you have, that means those others have to follow those. And if they don't follow those, you're going to be required to make something about that and confront that with them. Now, there's some basic things we've got to confront. I'm not saying that. But I think I still hear him say those things, but I understand it. It's because the more we put, then that means, guess who? I have got to monitor those things, and then I got to monitor those things for all of you. And if I see you not following number 13, I'm going to say, oh, 13, that person's out of that. I got to go talk to them. And it really doesn't matter a whole lot because it's just something that we put up there as a rule. You know? I mean, there is discipline in church and things of that nature. We're not getting away from that. But I don't want to ever make it hard for people to get close to God and to come to that relationship with God. For you today, I hope you remember this for those that come across your path when you begin to share that of Jesus. No one can reach God by following rules of self-denial or observing a ritual or rituals or by even practicing a religion. Paul, and we find, is sharing in the verses here that we were reading that all rules aren't bad, but keeping them will not earn our salvation. It'd be too easy, really. Well, to a point, it's really hard to obey these rules because we're all going to break them anyway. But with Jesus Christ as our Lord and forgiveness of salvation and our repentance and the blood washes our sins, we always have that ability to go back and gain that access to the one thing that cleanses us from the very beginning, the blood of Christ. It has never and never will lose its power. I'm so thankful for that. And it is not only for certain things in a person's life, it's for all things in a person's life, for that of sin, things that are of that against God. It talks about in God's Word, you know, sin is this. Sometimes, well, what is sin? Sin is this, too, that to know what to do and not do it is sin. It's a very simple thing. You don't need 12 books to tell you what sin is, to know what to do and not do it. As we begin to change our heart, we begin to know what to do in the kingdom of God. He nurtures us. He teaches us. He talks to us and listens to us and shares with us. And we should begin to see that change of us, amen? And our change of us is not because of us. Our change of us is because of Jesus Christ, crucified upon the cross. Went to Hades, got the keys, at the right hand of God the Father now. But he's coming back. Stay tuned. Let me just read here with Galatians, and then we'll wrap it up here and go on another week here. In Galatians 2:15-16, it says this in the New King James. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified, or knowing that they're declared righteous, by the works of the law, but by what? The faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. The law does nothing about justifying the flesh, only that of Christ and his righteousness. My righteousness is like that of filthy rags. The righteousness that I want to exhibit is God's righteousness. And with that, I hope we try to do the best we can, or I can, daily. Not perfect. A lot of things to still learn. A lot of things to still process through and get closer to that of God. But I'm on my way. How about you? I'm on that path. I look back in that path that I was on, and I started as way back there. Oh my goodness! Close to 30 some odd years now. Come through a lot. And I can see back there different things, different ways, things that how God did this and I did that and God did this and God did that and did, and now we're here. And I'm here now, but I'm looking ahead, and there's now what? How many years ahead? I don't know. But I want to remain on that path. And I don't want to bow down to man. I don't want to bow down to rituals. I don't want to bow down to laws and rules and things of what you got to do or can't do. I want to obey that of God to know what he wants me to do. And I want to follow God. Amen? And I know there's things that I'm cleaning up and you're cleaning up. Oh, hallelujah, we're not arrived. Aren't you glad that you've not arrived? Because once you think you've arrived, you become very prideful. And then you become very stoic and look at me. I'm a man. I'm a woman of God. It doesn't get any better than this. If I look at that person and go, oh, dear Lord, I don't want to even get where you're at then. I'd hope it'd be a whole lot different than that, brother. But we're on that journey. Oh, how I love you, Lord. Father, Father. And I'll close, and we'll pick up with this next week. Here's the good news. God reaches down to human beings, and he wants our response. If we look at man-made religion, it will focus on human effort. But in Christianity, it should put the focus on or in that of Christ's work, and that is that of the cross. One thing that also Miles had shared today is that God will only give you what you're wanting to learn. But God will only give you what you ask and what you're looking for. And if you don't want it, he's not going to give it to you. He's got it for you. But he's not going to say, here, take this, because he knows I'm not ready for it. Or he knows that if he just willy-nilly just throws it all out there, I'm going to miss it, and it's not going to be used efficiently. It's not going to be used for the purpose that he had it for. And so I've got to be not entering, just entered in. I got access into the kingdom. I'm entering now into that point of the kingdom of God to where I am searching into the kingdoms of that of God and his kingdom, the rooms, whatever. And when I get into a room, when I ask him about, how many here, when you ask God about a situation or something that's in your path, or even reading scripture, you ask God, does he not tell you something about it? God, I've read this in scripture and I'm just trying to figure this out. Ah, you're searching. Ah, I love that, my child. For when you search, you will do what? Find him. With all your heart, all your being, with all your strength. We have got to be in a constant searching and opening and asking of God. And he will freely give it to you and help your understanding. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I love you, Lord. Oh, your word is rich. It is so powerful. It is so eye-opening, spirit-opening, Lord. That we begin to just open this up, and I pray our spirits are open to just receive your download of your word into our spirits. Truly, you are God of that. I pray now, Lord, that you will just minister that into our lives individually, into our families, into this church. I pray, Lord, that we are changing daily, closer to you, getting rid of that of this world stuff that's on us or in us or around us, so that we can please you even better and greater than even this day. Again, bless each and everyone here today, and I thank you, Father, for your love, for your care, and how you don't give up. We ask all of this now in Jesus' name. Amen.